Oh, hey, listen, I don't know if you saw this in the paper the other day. But did you see that Pinocchio broke up with his girlfriend? Well, apparently she wanted a relationship with no strings attached. Okay. You know, I try. I really try. I think we need to have a new rule around here. The way you laugh at my jokes determines the length of my sermons. Now, see, I'm the one that has the responsibility of interpreting what you mean by that. Oh, we love that joke. Preach on, brother. Preach on. Here a few weeks ago, Kathy and I were up in Oshawa, Canada, Oshawa, Ontario, Canada. We were at Freedom Family Church, and I don't remember if it was the Sunday service or the Wednesday service. And I really don't even recall what was happening at the time. But the Holy Spirit spoke up in me, inside. And He said, the days of Jeremiah are upon us. That's all He said. And I knew that He was instructing me to go back to the book of Jeremiah, begin taking a look at what was happening in Jeremiah's life, and that as I did, He was going to point out parallels. In other words, He would take things that were happening in Jeremiah's life as recorded in the book of Jeremiah, and He would, He's going to say, now, that's what was happening then. Let me explain to you how that represents what's happening now. So, I have not yet completed digging through the entire book of Jeremiah. However, we're going to start today, and this is going to be a new series. And it is entitled, The Days of Jeremiah Are Upon Us. To give you a brief summary of where we're headed in this, we're going to be going through not just the book of Jeremiah, but there are going to be other places in Scripture where we're going to examine, study. And God is going to begin giving to us, if we'll receive it, a clear vision of what is going on, first in the church, second in the world today, to emphasize upon us how critical it is that we get our acts together and quit playing games. We are at a place now in the body of Christ. It is a place. What I have to do here is avoid jumping out too far ahead. It's like I'm on a highway of revelation. It's just flowing. We are at a place right now in the body of Christ, probably like never before. We are living in the fulfillment of prophecy. We are at a place where a spirit of slumber is impacting Christians all over. Every single one of us has been impacted by it. There are no Christians who have not been impacted by it. There are no exceptions, none. 100% of the body of Christ has been touched by this. Now, the degree of impact is relative to the hunger in the heart of the individual Christian. But the impact has still been there. You can fill a bucket of water two ways. Turn on the garden hose and just let her rip. Or put the bucket under the faucet, one drip at a time. One drip every 15, 20 seconds. Now, it's going to take a while, But that bucket will eventually get full. That is what has been going on in the body of Christ. It has not been a torrent. It has been one drop at a time to get us to this place. Never in my life, if I had recognized the call of God in my life back when I was a teenager, attending a church that did not believe in the gifts of the Spirit, but preached salvation and made sure you knew that if you were not born again, you were going to hell. If I had stood up in that church and said, the day is coming when a pastor of one of our churches, one of our denominational churches, is going to publicly declare that he no longer agrees with the teaching that homosexuality is a sin, and that his congregation is going to vote to keep him as the pastor. If I were to have stood up when I was a teenager and said such a thing, I don't think anyone would have believed me. Because our denomination was adamant about such things being sin. Adamant. There was no room to tolerate that type of activity. We would tolerate the repentance of the sinner. But to openly declare a type of agreement with such behavior, no way. If I had stood up, well, in fact, I can remember, some of you know who David Wilkerson is. He passed away here a few years ago. But he was a major prophetic voice in the body of Christ. Too many Christians didn't like him because they thought he was a little too harsh. But a long time ago, I think it was around 35 years ago, he stood up and he prophesied, the day is coming when pornography will be available on your television sets in your homes. And the people shouted him down. I mean, figuratively speaking. They took him to task over that. Okay, what do you have? It's there. And you don't have to have cable and the pay channels to get it. It's there. And the sad thing is, some people would say, well, now, wait a minute, Brother Martin. It's not real pornography because, you know, unless you have the pay channels, you can't see them doing humma humma and doing yama yama. Really? You know, you're right. You can't unless you have the pay channels. But what you have just done is revealed to me, your standards are so pathetically low, you no longer know what pornography is. You shouldn't have opened your mouth. Brother Martin, I'm just sitting here, I didn't say a word. Well, you were thinking it. Drop at a time. One drop at a time. That spirit of slumber, that one drop at a time, has been for the purpose of desensitizing the body of Christ to the concept of holiness. And if you stand up today and begin delivering a message of holiness, not legalism, but scripturally sound holiness, you begin delivering a message like that, you're going to make a lot of enemies. But you know what? Those are the kind of enemies you need. You say, that sounds weird. No, you need to identify who's compromising. Because Jesus himself said, we'll get to this later on, not today, but later on, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God, and you better watch out when people, when the world starts saying nice things about you. Now, right at this moment, can any of you think of a preacher who has a major ministry and even the world is saying nice things about this preacher? No, don't say it. Don't say it out loud, okay? Can anybody think of a preacher like that? Well, I can. And Christians defend adamantly the position of this preacher. I ask you, what does Scripture say about that? These are things we don't want to confront, but these are the days of Jeremiah. This is where we are. And you're going to, if you are teachable, you're going to see this so clearly by the time this series is over. The reason God wants this taught now, well, you remember back here, I forget exactly how long ago it was, but that the teaching series, Who Hath Bewitched You? Was that not timely? Absolutely. This one as well. And the problem, if it's even a problem, not really a problem. Let me kind of say it this way. A year from now, from the time that this series is over, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, we're going to begin to see how relevant this series is, how relevant it was at the time it was preached, how critical it was, and how much of a warning it was for the body of Christ. I cannot begin to tell you how serious this is. I'm examining my own life. Not as much as really even I should. Where is the compromise? Because if it's there, it's got to be out. It's got to be gone. Satan motivates people, whatever their positions, their jobs, their titles are, he motivates them to produce television shows that appeal to our senses and become like a drug to which we are addicted. And some people enjoy this TV program. Well, I know it's got, you know, that stuff in it, you know, this and that and other, but you know what? It's intriguing. It's exciting. Well, of course it is. If it was stupid and boring, it wouldn't be broadcast. But it becomes like a drug, and it gets inside your soul. And it has a pull on you that it shouldn't have. And there are people in this room and watching and listening right now. You've got television programs you watch you shouldn't be watching. It's wrong. But you don't want to hear me say that, because then you accuse me of meddling. Then you accuse me of trying to control your life. Well, you know what? I'm sorry if that offends you. I'm not saying this to offend you. I'm saying this to help you understand how full the bucket has become. One drop at a time. We are so close. Do you remember? I don't remember how long ago it was, 4 years. I don't remember the time frame. Do you remember the prophecy that came forth to where the demonic hordes were off the shore? And the day after the election, they were released. Within weeks, there was the massacre of all those children at that elementary school. It has been one thing after another, after another, after another. We have seen... There have always been killings. We know that. There have always been multiple killings. We know that. But there has been an increase in stuff. It's just you're going to open the newspaper, turn on the television here. Within a matter of a few weeks, there's going to be something else. It's going to happen. It's because that demonic horde has been released. I don't know how many of you, and I'll use this name, not as an endorsement of the ministry, but as a point of reference for prophecy. Dutch Sheets came forth with a prophecy here recently, and I'm dating this series, but that's okay, I guess. And in that prophecy, he basically was saying the same thing that the prophecy here a few years ago was saying. He used different terminology, but he was saying the same thing. Stuff's happening in this nation. Now listen to me. In spite of some people who may tell you differently, I'm telling you, thus saith the Lord God Almighty, there's no turning back. It's not going to change. And I don't care if you choose and vote for somebody who can walk on water, who's born again, speaks in tongues, signs, wonders, and miracles, living a holy life, put them in the White House as the president, it's not going to turn around. That kind of a person will only temporarily act as a delay of the inevitable. It will slow things down, but it will not stop it. There's no turning back. We are on the way now to things that we never thought we'd see when we were younger. We're seeing things now that we didn't think we would see when we were younger. If people had come along and told us, when 35, 40 years ago, told us, the day's coming, man. Homosexuals are going to be allowed to get married. We just thought they were crazy. There's no way. Even if you had a Democrat in the White House, I mean, they wouldn't even do something like that. Here you are. And now it's not only the Democrats, but you've got Republicans who are rising up and saying, well, now we need to rethink all this. We are the donkeys chasing the carrot on the end of the street stick if we think this stuff is going to change and turn. It's not. We're going to have to pull our heads out of the sand and realize the only thing that's going to sustain us is a holy walk and relationship with God Almighty. That's the only thing that's going to see us through. Jesus warned about this in Matthew 24. But it's like we don't take heed to these warnings that He's given. It's almost like we don't believe it can be that bad. It's almost like we don't think it ever could ever get to this place. It could never reach that. Not here. Yeah, here. But quite frankly, I don't know how bad it's going to get in this nation. But you've got people all over the world. They think that you can sit down at a table with terrorists and reason things out. They've been trying that now, let's see, for almost 1700 years. Read your history, for crying out loud. They've been trying this now for almost 1700 years. And the terrorists are more than happy to sit down at the table and smile. Oh, okay, sure, we can do that. Sure, we can do that. Oh, not a problem, not a problem. Thank you very much. Have a blessed day. And then a few weeks later, boom, there they go. Because they don't care. You cannot rationalize with a mind that is controlled by demonic forces. There is no rationalizing. And all these Christians who think we can work it out. You've been listening to the Beatles too long. You can't work it out.
Yes, but all we need is love.
That's right. But God's love. Christians that think that, you know, well, now we can reach a resolution. No, you can't. Haven't you figured out yet that every time you think you have a resolution, there is no resolution? All it does is cause you to turn your back on your enemy so that they can plant a knife in it? Haven't you figured that out? Now, you here may have, but you've got a lot of Christians, they don't want to hear this. I saw a bumper sticker the other day. War is not the answer. I've got news for you. In this world, it is.
And you just want to kill people.
I don't want to kill people. Laws for the lawless, forces for the rebellious. So let me ask you a question. What do? Just sit back and do nothing? And then when they come knocking on your door to behead your children, or behead you in front of your children, now what are you going to do? You're going to bellyache and complain that nobody did anything to protect you. If people are insistent on blowing things up and killing everybody they can see, sooner or later you have to do something to stop it, or just let yourself die, or stand by and watch your children be mutilated. What is the choice? War for the sake of war is not the answer, but war for the sake of protecting people against demonically influenced tyrants, that is the only answer.
Well, yes, Brother Martin, but we could stand up with the power of God.
And who's doing that? I'm not a warmonger. But what I'm telling you is you better wake up and understand it's a lack of people doing what is right to protect freedom that has allowed freedom to be taken away. And it's the same thing in this country. We've allowed politics to take our freedoms away because Christians were too gutless to vote for Christians to put them in office. The Christians wanted somebody who would let them do what they wanted to do. And therein, you find out whose buckets are full.
Brother Martin, what's this have to do with Jeremiah?
You need to go read the book of Jeremiah, and you're going to find out the same things were happening in the book of Jeremiah. Everything I'm describing so far, the parallels are there in the book of Jeremiah. There are no exceptions. They were facing enemies. Their approach was wrong. Just read the book. And ask for God to help you to have your eyes and the eyes of your understanding enlightened to understand what it is God wants to show us in this. Go ahead and open to Jeremiah. Don't think I told you to do that, but you may be there anyway. And quite frankly, I thought the message was going to go a different direction so far, but see, what I've shared already, there's some people going to get mad. There's some people that will get upset. Christians, okay? I know the world won't like it, but there are Christians going to get upset.
I disagree with you. All we need to do is stand upon the Word of God.
Dude, people have been saying that for 2,000 years. Wake up! The body of Christ isn't doing it. When's this going to sink in? You may be doing it. You may be doing it. But the body of Christ is not. This is what we seem, that spirit of slumber. And it's almost like, you know, that remember the other, I don't know what sermon it was, I was talking about the elusive they.
Well, you know what? They killed Kennedy.
They who?
Well, you know, they are the one. And they, the elusive they.
Well, you know what? There's another elusive group of people called somebody. Called someone.
Well, someone ought to do something about this.
That's right.
Well, bless God, we need to pray. Somebody needs to pray.
Well, do it. It's easy to stand up and tell everybody somebody needs to pray. Hard part's doing it. So we've got the right words to say. But when it comes to actually doing it, it's not happening. Oh, and by the way, let me ask you something. Do you think if we were like the early church, we could stem the tide of all this?
Absolutely, Brother Martin. Bless God. If we could get back to the days of the apostles, Paul and James and Peter, Matthew, the whole bunch of them. Hey, if we could do that, why? And I know things would be different.
I got news for you. Things were not different back then. Things were really bad. Have you ever heard of the Roman Empire?
The what?
The Roman Empire. You remember that city in Italy? Notice it's not called the Italian Empire. It's the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was in charge back then. Do you remember the persecution? Read it in Scripture, New Testament. Persecution of the Christians. Historically, Christians were killed, murdered, crucified. At one point, I forget which road it was, there was a major highway that led into Rome. I think it was Rome. Might have been Jerusalem. It might have been Rome. Anyway, I should have looked this up, didn't. But anyway, along this highway, there were crosses on both sides of the highway where Christians were hanging who had been crucified. As a message, we don't want your religion. You're going to worship Caesar. It was intimidation. Don't tell me if we could get back to the days of the apostles. Because, hey, if anybody in the church history was walking in holiness, it would have been those fellas. Well, you know what? I find it pretty interesting. They did not stop the debauchery that impacted the Roman Empire. All of the perversions that were released in the Roman Empire, which eventually led to the Roman Empire's collapse. They couldn't stop that. These were guys... Peter, he walked on water. Silver and gold have I none. Guy gets healed. Miracles followed these guys. The power of God was evident. Peter stands up, Ananias and Sapphira. You lied to the Holy Ghost. Boom, they drop dead right in the church service. In other words, if anybody was going to be able to stop an ungodly government and stop the flow and increase of perversions, it would have been those people back then. Did they not have the Word of God? Now, they were receiving what we call the New Testament. But what I mean is they were receiving the Word from God, delivering it to the church. We have it in writing. They couldn't change it. They couldn't stop it. So don't send me your emails. Don't send me your Facebook messages criticizing what I'm sharing so far, because I have biblical Christian history to back me up. Do you know what finally stopped the Roman Empire? An invasion of another army. That's what happened. They collapsed. Military might put an end to that empire. I'm not a warmonger, but what I'm telling you is this. We live in a day and age where we better be thankful we still have some kind of remnant of military might here in this country to help protect us. But there's a collapse that's taking place within. There was a report the other day. I didn't follow up on it. All I saw was about 15 seconds of it on television. Guy walked into a bar here in Dayton. Guy walked into a bar wearing a cross, a little cross, a little gold cross, and they told him, "You can't wear that in here. Get out." They told him to get out. Now, I didn't follow up on the story. I don't know what surrounded it, but that's what the 15-second teaser was to get you to watch the news later on. This kind of stuff's going on. Our only hope is to be like a Jeremiah and stand strong and not yield. Now, here in Jeremiah, pick it up in verse 1, chapter 1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 30th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. In other words, from verses 1, 2, and 3, what we're seeing is the time span of Jeremiah's ministry. It's like a little summary. And you can go back and read in Chronicles and Kings to pick up, you know, where these kings were and in the history of Israel and so forth. But anyway, in verse 4, then the word of the Lord came unto me, Jeremiah, saying, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Now, some people would read that and think, well, I don't understand the parallel. I mean, and they would go off on a tangent on what that verse 5 is talking about, being formed in the womb and so on and so forth. All right, like I said, I'm going to be passing along to you the way that the Holy Spirit is using these passages and illustrating, here's what you're reading there, but let me show you how that relates to today. In this verse 5, this is talking about, and I got to clarify even further. Those of you that only half listen, whether you're here or you're listening, you know, by internet, whatever, again, I am not giving the line upon line explanation of all the prophecies in Jeremiah. The Holy Spirit is using them as illustrations for current events and current situations here in the body of Christ and in the world, okay? So I want to make sure you understand that. Verse 5, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." This verse 5, the image, the way the Holy Spirit is using this to present an image for us today is this. God is speaking, and He's speaking to you. To you. "Before I, God, formed you in my belly, my spiritual belly, I knew you. I knew the day was coming when you were going to walk this earth. Before you were birthed out of my spiritual womb as a new creation in Jesus Christ, I had already made a declaration. During this birth process, when you are born, you will be sanctified as a holy vessel unto me. You will be created in my righteousness and my true holiness. And I, as you are being brought forth into the kingdom of God, into the family of God, I have ordained that there is a call upon your life to declare my word, either as an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, in that area of helps or governments. The bottom line is, I have ordained that you are to be a voice for the kingdom, that you are to walk this earth and declare my word to the people who will receive it." So here we are. Before we were actually born again, God knew the day was coming when we were going to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Oh, keep your finger here. Okay, where is that, Lord? Ephesians. No, Romans. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Keep your finger here in Jeremiah. Romans chapter 8. I'll show this to you. It's right here. Romans chapter 8. Are you there? I want you to see it. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he, God, did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Verses 29 and 30 aren't talking about predestination, where God says some people are going to be destined to become a Christian, and some people, you're going to hell, I don't care what you pray. No, he's the people that he knew ahead of time, the beginning from the end, the people that he already knew were going to call upon the name of Jesus Christ. He foreknew you, and he ordained that you were going to be born to conform to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. And he placed a call upon your life to be glorified in his image and declare his word. That is the New Testament variation on the theme of what we're seeing back here in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. One of the worst things that you can do as a Christian is look to God and say, I'm not worthy. Did we not just read that before you were born again, he knew you, and he predestined that every person who calls upon the name of the Lord would be born again with his life, with his nature, destined to conform to the image of Christ, partakers of his glory. How in the world can you say you aren't qualified? When the hand of God was involved in creating you in righteousness and true holiness when you were born again, how can you say you're not qualified? How can you say you're not good enough? What you're doing is you're looking in the mirror and you're seeing what you used to be. You're not seeing who God has called you to be. You're not seeing your potential in Christ. You're not seeing that it's God who works in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. You're not seeing the image of His glory that you're supposed to be conforming to. And when you come back and you say, well, I just can't, because, and then you start listing all the limitations, all you're doing is listing characteristics of the flesh that have not yet been mortified. You can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. There are no excuses. And I want to tell you something, the deeper that you go into God, the less patient you're going to be with these excuses being given by Christians who should know better and have heard the right kind of teaching all their lives, but they're just simply not dealing with it. They're not applying it. You're going to know better. Oh, you walk in love, but you're going to realize, you know what? It's amazing how many Christians, let me just say this in general terms. If you keep pressing into God, the day is going to come when nobody, and I mean not one Christian, is going to be able to buffalo you. You know what that means? They're not going to be able to pull one over on you. You're going to see through every word they say. You are going to know exactly where they walk. You're going to know exactly. They're going to say all the right things, but you're going to hear the real message. You're going to see their life. Now, I don't mean you're going to get a vision of how they live, but you're going to know. They're not going to be able to fool you. And it's amazing. And I've been around Christians at times. They say what they think are the right things to say, and they think I'm buying into it. Well, I'll smile and go along with them, but they're not fooling me. And he continues here in Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah says, Oh, I cannot speak, for I am a child. The Lord corrects him. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Every single one of us has a responsibility to be a spokesperson for the Lord. However, it has to be in accordance with what He commands us to speak. Too many people want to share their opinions. Don't waste your time. I just... You know, one of the greatest revelation tools ever is Facebook. People reveal where they're walking with God. And I am shocked, absolutely stunned at some of the people and the opinions that they post on Facebook that they believe are supported by Scripture. And I read some of this stuff by people I know should know better. And I read this, I'm thinking, seriously, you post this thinking that some of blah, blah? And these are people that they present themselves as somewhat among us. You understand what I mean? Well, you know what? Just keep reading their posts and then do your best not to post a reply. Tie your hands behind your back. Hide your keyboard. Yeah, that's right. It's a trap. And too many of you have fallen into it by joining into the fray of the foolishness that gets posted on there. You want people to take your walk with God seriously? Stop it. Stop it. You notice I don't do that? There's a reason for it.
Well, I don't understand.
You keep praying and you will understand. You're wasting your time and your finger energy. You know, save your keyboard. Hallelujah. So he says, "But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak." Now look at this. "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." Be not afraid of their faces. You know, do you know how some people, they can give you a look? You know that phrase, if looks could kill? Okay, that's a variation, that's a modernization of this. Don't be afraid of looks that kill. "I am with you to deliver you, saith the Lord." Now notice where in verse 7 he says, "Go to all the people where I send you and speak whatever I command you to speak." He did not identify just the priests, just the prophets, just the whoever else was around there. No, he said, whoever I send you to, doesn't matter who it is, whoever I send you to, and when you get there, and Jeremiah was not a priest. He wasn't serving as a high priest, offering all the sacrifices and so forth when he did this. He said, "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am able to deliver you, saith the Lord." Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and said unto me, "Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." There are too many Christians that haven't sat around long enough for God to touch their mouth and fill it with their words, with his words. They fill it with their own words. They touch their own mouth. They want some preacher to touch them, figuratively speaking. But they don't hang around God long enough to receive his words so that when they open their mouth and begin to speak what they're speaking. Hey, listen. You can have all kinds of scripture memorized. Man, you can just rattle scripture off one after the other. But just because it's dancing around in your mind doesn't mean it's living in your heart. Until it stops dancing around in your brain to where you're impressing or trying to impress people with all the scripture you can quote. See, when it's alive in your heart, when it is living in you and you are living in it, you don't feel the need to start quoting scripture like crazy to try and impress people. Your changed life will be your declaration of lifestyle. That will be the declaration of God's word in you. He says, "The Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I put my words in thy mouth." Now look here at verse 10. "See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, and to build, and to plant." In other words, he's saying, Jeremiah, I'm raising you up, and I'm sending you forth to people to declare my word. Now, the purpose of my word is to root out, pull down, destroy, and throw down. Now, what in the world do you think he was going to root out, pull down, destroy, and throw down? The compromise, the sin, the twisting of the word of God, which would have been the law and everything else they had up until this time. It was a destruction of the fullness of the truth without an elimination of the Word. Did that make sense? So you can have the Word of God, but you can destroy or you can eliminate its truth. You can twist it to say what you want it to. And that is exactly what was happening. And God said, Jeremiah, I'm raising you up. And I'm sending you forth. But before I send you out there to do it, son, you stay here in my presence until you receive my touch and my word is alive inside of you so that when you go forth, what you speak is going to be what I tell you to speak. Now, isn't that what Jesus said? When you stand before men, don't worry about what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit's going to bring forth what you're supposed to say. Same thing, no different. Just a different way it manifested with Jeremiah as opposed for us as Spirit-filled Christians. And he said, I have set you over the nations and over the kingdoms. I have set you over the nations and over the kingdoms. Now, when you read through the rest of Jeremiah, he wasn't traveling to all the pagan nations and delivering the Word of God. But what he did do was stand up to the leaders of Israel and declare the Word of God. And as you go through the book of Jeremiah, what you're going to find is they didn't all like it. There were some of them who were extremely upset about this. There were some of them who actually got physical with him. In fact, Jeremiah, he faced jail time. You can call it that. And here's what's interesting. I thought verse 8 said, don't be afraid, I'm with you to deliver you. Well, when you read through the book of Jeremiah, there can be times when you think, excuse me, I thought you were here to deliver me. But God did deliver him. God never told him you wouldn't go through hard times. God didn't say you won't go through challenges. He just said, don't be afraid of their faces. I'll deliver you, but their faces are going to get pretty ugly. And he says, I've set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, pull down, destroy, and throw down. Now, when you go through and you read the book of Jeremiah, what you're going to find out is that Jeremiah didn't go around with a literal sword and a literal club and weapons and killing and beating people to tear down, throw down, and all the other things that God said he was going. You know what? The way he did it was with the Word. He declared the Word. Let me say this a little bit differently. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to openly expose all of their sin and error. That's a variation on this theme, and that is exactly what he did. As we go through Jeremiah, you're going to begin to see how that Jeremiah stood up. And he stood up under a lot of criticism, and he stood up under a lot of attacks. But now, here's a parallel. The same thing today is going on. Here's what I mean. The Holy Spirit is raising people up. God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is raising people up who are not going to be afraid of their faces, whoever they are, wherever they are. They're not going to be afraid of the way people speak against them. They're not going to be afraid of the way people rise up against them. And who was it that was rising up so much against Jeremiah? It was the Jews. The people who should have been rejoicing over what he was saying. The people who should have been dropping to their knees and repenting when they were confronted with this. But they didn't. They rose up against him. But Jeremiah kept going. And he kept going. And he kept speaking the Word of God. Speaking the declaration that you can't keep compromising. You got to get the sin out of your life. You got to go back to the truth. For them, it would have been back to the standards of the law. And stop creating your own versions of the law. And God is raising people up in this world right now that He is sending forth to the nations. I'm talking this entire planet. He's sending them forth to the nations, and they're going to stand up and they're going to declare the uncompromising Word of God, and they're going to expose the error. They're going to expose the compromise. They're going to expose, listen now, they're going to begin exposing by name the preachers and the others who are doing these things that are wrong. Because when you go through the book of Jeremiah, you're going to see where people were identified by name who were doing wrong. And that's something that's going to be covered in this series is marking them who caused divisions among us contrary to the doctrine that God has established. Jeremiah is the example of the people that God is raising up. Now here's the thing. If you want to be a Jeremiah, you can. This doesn't mean that God is going to put you behind a pulpit. It doesn't mean that God is going to send you on an airplane to nations all over the world. What it means is where you are, your lifestyle, you can become a Jeremiah if you want it. But it's going to require cleaning up our own act, cleaning up our own lives. There are too many people, too many Christians out there that are trying to be the voice of Jeremiah in this world, but they've got stuff under their beds. You know what I'm saying? They've got stuff in their closets. They've got all kinds of junk going on in their lives, and I'm telling you, it's going to be exposed. Listen, every single one of you here, every one of you listening, I'm warning you right now. I'm warning you. If you've got stuff going on in your life that shouldn't be there, you, bless God, had better stop it. You better get it out of your life. If you've got a secret life with that computer and you're watching stuff you shouldn't, you better get it out of your life now.
Well, what are you going to do? You can come by and look at my computer?
No, I won't have to. Jesus is coming back for a church without spot or blemish. How do you think that's going to happen? Something's got to change. And if you've got this stuff going on in your life, stop it.
Well, Brother Martin, you just don't know. I've tried so many times. I've tried, but I just can't.
You know what you do? You say no. Get rid of those trashy magazines. Get rid of those movies. Get rid of that stuff. However it would apply to you as an individual, whatever's going on, man, you better stop it. Because God, we are in a period of grace right now. When God sent Jeremiah, He was sending Jeremiah with a message of conviction, a message of confrontation, a message to expose the error, but it was also a period of grace. Because if the people who had heard Jeremiah had dropped to their knees and repented, a lot of bad stuff could have been avoided. But because their hearts were hardened, the bad stuff came. They wouldn't listen to Jeremiah. And I'm telling you right now, if you've got junk in your life, unless you are ready for the people in this room to hear about it, some way, somehow, I don't know how that works. I'm not going to sneak around your house. But isn't it interesting how that Christians, preachers, stuff has been exposed publicly that they never wanted exposed, that they were trying to hide, but somehow there it was? Don't think you're exempt from this. Stop it. Repent.
Well, I got to say, Brother Martin, I just tried, but I just can't.
Say no. Do what? Say no. When you start having the feelings on the inside to do whatever it is, whatever the stuff is, doesn't matter what it is, but whatever it is that you need to get out of your life, whenever you start having those feelings to go do it, you know what? You say no. You say, well, what do you mean just say no? Well, it's getting complicated here, isn't it? Say no. No. I'm not going to think those thoughts. No. I'm not going to that website. No. I'm not looking at these magazines anymore. And don't give them away. Oh, my. Destroy them. Find a shredder and destroy them. Burn them. Don't take a chance that somebody else could get a hold of them. Get rid of the filth. Every time you start having the feelings of doing the whatever, say no. In the name of Jesus, no. I'm not. In the name of Jesus, I am created in the righteousness and true holiness of God. I have His nature and His character. And there's nothing in the nature and character of God that wants to do blank, whatever it is. I'll not do it in the name of Jesus. Flesh, you're mortified. And I will not let you run my life. I will run you. I have authority over you and I take control. And I say in the name of Jesus, no, I won't do it. And the flesh is going to say, but I want to. And you're going to say, but you don't get to. And the flesh is going to say, well, I'll give you a hard time. And you're going to say, go ahead, make my day. I'm trying to inject a little humor here. But that's how serious this is. If you want, doesn't the Bible say something about your sin will find you out? If you're ready for whatever it is to be exposed and for people to know what you're doing, keep doing it, man. Keep doing it. The day's going to come some way, somehow. I don't know how, but somehow it's going to be known. Get your act together.
You say, well, you think you're holier than us.
Excuse me, you're all looking at somebody who's had to get his own act together over the last 32 plus years of serving God. So no, I'm not casting stones because I'm without sin. What I'm saying is, been there, done that, you can do it. You can do it. Don't come and tell me, I just can't. You can. You're a liar, pants on fire, if you say you can't. Because you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. So do it through Christ. Say no. Don't yield to it. We're living in the days of Jeremiah when the body of Christ, so many of them don't think it's all that bad. Well, everybody's doing it. No, they're not. They're not. We are living, I'm going to say it in a way that a lot of people would argue with, all right? Hang with me. We are living right in the last days of abundant grace. Now, here's what I mean. Don't tune me out. I'll send an email on that one. No, now, hold on. There's a period of time, and I'm just using this term, abundant grace, giving everybody an opportunity to repent. All these pastors that have, their sin's been exposed, they used up their abundant grace. Now, I didn't mean God wasn't extending grace for repentance and restoration. Don't misunderstand. I'm talking about the time where okay, you remember, illustration. Noah got drunk in his tent, naked. Weird. Okay. And remember his two sons, Shem and Japheth? They took like a blanket and they walked backwards and covered up. Okay. Right now, God is standing up with a sheet covering the nakedness of your sin, keeping it from the world. But the day is coming when that sheet is going to be removed and all who walk by will see you naked in that tent. Now you understand the figure of speech. That's what I'm talking about, this abundant grace. It's a period by which you have the opportunity to repent when you know you're supposed to repent. And if you don't, the day is coming. There's nothing left for God to do. And it's not that He wants to embarrass you or shame you. He's trying to help you understand you can't live like that. You need to read through the New Testament, read in Galatians. There's a powerful warning. People that live in sin, Christians who willingly choose to live in sinful lifestyles will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's in there. And this thing with Jeremiah, the days of Jeremiah are the days when the body of Christ is a reflection of the nation of Israel and Israel's rejection of God's standards, twisting of God's word, and declaring a corrupted law and then telling everybody it was okay. There are fewer and fewer Christians who are willing to stand up for truth. We are in the days of Jeremiah. But praise God, Jesus is still Lord. The Holy Spirit is still here to move. And God still has His hands extended to everybody who will reach out and take a hold. He's not rejecting anyone. But what's going to happen is this. The preachers, the pulpit people, who become the voice of Jeremiah, you understand what I mean by that? There's going to be more and more criticism. Well, folks, I'm just telling you right now, you better be ready for this. Because I don't know for sure exactly the full direction this series is going to go. There is a possibility, and I got to get clarity from the Lord on this one. There's a possibility names may be named in this series. Don't count on it. Don't sit there, oh, glory to God, he's going to name. No. All right? No. And the names may not be named. All right? But I already know this. There are people out there, Christians, that I thought knew better, that I thought understood the Word of God more clearly, that I thought they were on the path, this narrow path of the kingdom, I thought they were there more than what they really are, because I'm observing these Christians that I thought were further along defending preachers who are compromising almost immeasurably. Defending them. Let's go back to Facebook again. I watch the posts and I see the responses. And I think, you got to be kidding me. When you know that preacher so-and-so has done such and such, and you're defending, you're saying we got to walk in love. I can walk in love. Wasn't it love when Paul told the Corinthians to turn this one fellow over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh? It didn't end there. So that his soul would be saved in the day of judgment. My paraphrase. In other words, here's love. Love him so much, let him die. Let him die. Let Satan kill him now before this guy completely turns his back on Jesus Christ. That way, when he dies, he'll still make it to heaven. We don't think of love that way, do we? Boy, here's something to think about. How many people would be in heaven today if we had turned them over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh before they crossed the line? It's pretty heavy. Well, but Brother Martin, we got to walk in love. I know we have to walk in love. Walking in love is walking according to the purity and the holiness of God's standards. That is walking in love. When Jesus stood up to the priests and the Pharisees and all those, and he says, "You hypocrites, you brood of vipers. You know, you get a proselyte and you make him twice the child of hell as you are." Where's the love in that? Walking in love. You know what walking in love is? Seriously. Here's a way to define walking in love. Loving God more than anything or anyone else. That's walking in love. True love. When you walk in that kind of love, the love of God will flow through you according to the standards of God. I don't know. You know how people talk about the economy is going to collapse? Well, you can believe that. Something's going to happen. We know that. Whether you want to call it a collapse or what, then don't send me emails. Well, according to the recent statistics, blama hama wama sama. And don't you know the Illuminati are taking over? Don't send me that garbage, okay? Just D-O-N-T, don't. Apostrophe T, don't. Here's what I'm seeing. And it's like I'm looking at this through a mist because it's not super clear. It's like we're on the edge of an implosion. I'm not talking the United States. I'm talking the world. We are on the edge of an implosion. Oh, well, we started off with fighting. Let's end with it. Do you remember? Well, I don't know if you remember this or not, but you know, we had our troops over there in Iraq and all this. People were going crazy. Bring them home, bring them home, bring them home. And I stood up and I said, our troops are the stabilizing factor in that region. As soon as we pull them out, less than a year later, all hell's going to break loose. Now, I said that years ago. I'm sure people didn't like it. Have you read the news lately? Have you read what's happening over there? Here of late, report came out. All of a sudden, boom, just like this, the Russians have sent massive amount of troops to the Ukraine border. Analysts are saying this looks like an invasion. This was after Russia said we won't invade. Something's got to happen to bring those armies south. Read the Bible, Battle of Armageddon, remember all that? We are on the edge of an implosion. I don't know what that means, but I do know this. God made that statement to Jeremiah. He said, don't be afraid of their voices. He said, I will be with you to deliver you. You know what? No matter how much things implode, no matter how bad it gets, the bottom line is God is still with us to deliver us. He's, even though if we have to go through hard stuff, God is still there. Paul and Silas were like locked up. God was still there. But if you don't have a kind of relationship with Him that will fortify you in that knowledge, panic will set in. I don't want to panic. God's not giving me a spirit of fear, love, power, and a sound mind. I want to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, and I need you. I don't want to do it alone. I need you. I want you. I want us to be like an unbreakable chain linked with the Holy Spirit. We're going through this. Whatever it is. This message this morning, if I were to show you my notes, you would say, you didn't cover any of this. Maybe that'll be part two. We are in the days of Jeremiah, and we need to be ready. The Bible says that who God loves, He chastens. And it also says, sometimes this chastening isn't pleasant. But you know what? I'd rather be chastened now than when I'm standing before the throne. It's kind of like, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid and I knew I'd messed up and I knew I was going to get a spanking, it was like, okay, can we just get it over? I don't want to live the rest of this day knowing it's coming. Just whack away. Come on. Here's the paddle. Go for it. Here's the belt. Here's the switch. Use them all. I don't care. Well, let's just get it over. Amen. Get corrected and move forward. Praise the Lord.